Hi, I'm Jay from JinxNavigator.com, and this is my podcast. We're making our way through all of the issues of The Jinx. That was a newsletter for magicians and mentalists, lasted from 1934 to 1941, and a lot of what we do as mystery performers can be traced back to something from The Jinx. This is the podcast where we browse through every issue and find out how many of the ideas are still usable, and spoiler alert, the answer is just about all of them. We're looking at issue number 9 today, which contains the modernized reading from Theodore Animan, the renovated Sphinx card trick by Eddie Clever, A Matter of Policy by Theodore Animan, Pseudo-Psychometry by Theodore Animan, and The Editorial by Animan. This first one is called The Modernized Reading, and it's by Animan himself. It's not a standalone effect so much as a method, specifically a way of secretly reading a sealed envelope without the person who sealed it having any reason for suspicion. Animan opens with a bit of history. He believes he invented the core idea back in 1924, though after 11 years he's no longer entirely certain. He traces it through various publications and books where it appeared over the years, which is a nice glimpse into how ideas traveled through the magic community in that era. Basic concept is an envelope that has been secretly prepared so the performer can read what's written on a card inside, even while the envelope is being held by the person who sealed it. Animan's modernized version adds a clever handling that makes the switch cleaner and safer than earlier versions, and he describes a simple piece of staging that gives you a natural moment to get the information while arousing absolutely no suspicion. So the method requires a small amount of preparation beforehand, and one piece of ordinary office supplies that you'd probably have on hand anyway. Once you understand the construction, the handling becomes almost automatic. And it also looks like it's probably the precursor to Alan Shaxson's famous work with envelopes. Animan suggests this works beautifully as an opener for a longer mentalism routine, or equally well as a standalone piece. Either way, he calls it the quickest method he knows for obtaining sealed information cleanly. It's really good, and full details at JinxNavigator.com. Be sure and check out the comments on that article for some tips I discovered to make the technique even better. This technique, it's still being used today by everybody and their brother. It is the best way to get a glimpse of something that has been sealed in an envelope. This next effect is an updated take on an old catalog trick called the Sphinx card trick. Animan's version uses a standard bicycle deck, and as he says, this excellent close-up item gives the maximum of effect with a minimum of skill. Three helpers each freely remove a card from the deck and initial it. All three initialed cards go into a hat. You ask the first helper to name their card, you reach into the hat and remove it, then place it back in the deck. The remaining two helpers look for their cards in the hat, and they are gone. In their place is the card that was just put back in the deck. And when the deck is spread face up, the two missing initial cards are right there among the others. So three initial cards, one hat, cards traveling back and forth between the two in ways that shouldn't be possible. Now there are two specially prepared cards at work here, both made to blend in with a standard bicycle deck. One is a familiar gimmick that many card workers already own. I don't do cards, and I've got several of them in this drawer back behind me. The other is a custom gimmick, and the illustration in the original article shows exactly what's been done to it. It's a very small but clever alteration to a single index. Sleights needed in this are so slight that I think of them more as moves than actual sleights. Give it a shot. Let us know how it goes for you. Full details at JinxNavigator.com. The next piece is called A Matter of Policy, and it's by Ted Animan. Fair warning, it's very much a product of its time, built around a political joke that would have landed perfectly with a 1935 audience. For me, personally, I'd never do a political effect like this in today's climate, but here it is. The setup is a story. President Roosevelt has given his Postmaster General, James Farley, a famous savvy political operator, the job of cutting his office staff in half. 20 employees, 10 Republicans and 10 Democrats. Farley, wanting to appear scrupulously fair, lines everyone up and counts off every 10th person until only 10 remain. The performer has 20 oversized cards, 10 showing a Democratic donkey and 10 showing a Republican elephant. They're arranged in a specific order and stood around the room like employees in a line. The countoff begins, every 10th card gets eliminated. And as the audience watches, they start to notice something. By the time the 6th or 7th card goes down, they're ahead of you now. And by the end, the article says, they are howling. Every single Republican ends up out of a job. So there's no sleight of hand here whatsoever, just a very old mathematical principle dressed up in a topical story, topical for 1935. Edelman suggests this is perfect for lodge meetings and club nights and offers a lovely bit of staging where you hand the cards to audience members along the sides of the room so they can't see the faces until it's all over. You could for sure modernize this, grab a chainsaw, and say Doge is cutting the workforce and only the Democrats get fired. Lots of plots you could use today, but like I said at the beginning, I'd never do an overtly political routine in a typical show. Now, if you're doing a show where you come out wearing a red ball cap or come out waving a pride flag, maybe you could work something like this in because your audience already knows which side of the bed you sleep on and are likely the same way. On the other hand, just because this was a politically motivated presentation in 1935 doesn't mean it has to stay that way. The method will work no matter what images are on the card, so check it out at jinxnavigator.com and get the entire scoop on how it works. This next one is called Pseudopsychometry. It's by Ahneman, and you've heard about it. You know about it. You know about pseudopsychometry. He's not shy about it. He opens it by calling it one of the greatest one-man psychic effects available, and honestly, it's hard to argue with him. The effect goes like this. About a dozen envelopes are handed out to helpers scattered through the audience. While the performer's back is turned, each person seals a small personal item inside their envelope. A ring, a pen, a coin, a hairpin, anything that fits. The envelopes are collected by an audience member, mixed up, and brought forward. You, the performer, open the first envelope and tips the contents into your hand. You turn the object over slowly, then begin to describe a person. Their approximate age, their general appearance, a few details of how they're dressed. You then hold the object up and ask the owner to acknowledge it, and the person who stands up matches the description exactly. You open another envelope, and this time you walk directly into the audience and return the object straight to its owner without asking anyone to identify themselves. This continues, sometimes describing, sometimes finding, sometimes both, and at no point is there any clue about how you're doing it. The method requires nothing but the envelopes themselves and a very small preparation beforehand. It can actually even be done on the fly if you like. And a system simple enough to hold in your head while performing. The secret, as Ahneman puts it, is right under everyone's nose the entire time. Ahneman also describes a two-person stage version that he calls a stunner and suggests it's particularly effective as a publicity piece. Get all the details on pseudopsychometry at jinxnavigator.com. If you are not familiar with it, do so. You will love it. And we're finally at Ahneman's editorial in issue number 9. He mentions magic convention season is in full swing. The SAM in Washington, the IBM in Ohio, a Pacific Coast gathering in Hollywood, and several more on the calendar before summer's over. He mentions he'll be making appearances and is on the hunt for anything new worth reporting back to what he notes are now 859 Jinx readers as of May 2nd, 1935. He takes a moment to genuinely recommend a brochure called It's in the Bag by H. Adrian Smith, a short blindfold routine he bought with his own money, found tremendously valuable, and worries it won't get the attention it deserves. It's a rare, unprompted endorsement from Ahneman. The 5-foot bookshelf from last issue is still generating mail, most of it argumentative. Ahneman clarifies his intent. He wasn't claiming it was the only good library, just a solid foundation covering every basic principle. If you want to go any deeper on any particular subject after that, fine, but start there, he says. The big news this issue is his answer to the question of whether the Jinx should go semi-monthly. The answer is no. But instead, he's announcing something new, a Jinx Extra. Twice a year, summer and winter, a 16-page special edition packed with 20 tricks for $1, separate from the regular monthly issues entirely. He also revisits the Martin Sunshine endorsement controversy from last issue. He's now actually bought the trick, knows the secret, and gives his honest opinion. It's a good effect, he says, but not one suited for the average buyer. It requires nerve, audacity, and a level of showmanship that can't be purchased along with the instructions. And he considers the matter closed. And he closes the editorial with a mathematical curiosity passed along by Royal V. Heath, Apparently 84, the number of readers who wrote in supporting a semi-monthly jinx, is the only number between 0 and 4,800,000,000 that is spelled with 10 completely different letters. Anneman notes that the jinx being unique is not news, but he appreciates the confirmation. That's it for this episode of the Jinx Navigator podcast. To see every article in every issue of the Jinx, go to jinxnavigator.com and sign up. It's completely free. And feel free to use the contact form on that site. Let me know what you think of the podcast and the website, good or bad. I'll take any feedback. I'm Jay Jennings from jinxnavigator.com, and I hope you join me again next time when we explore issue 10, which includes Theodore Anneman's extrasensory perception, a cool mind-reading effect that's one of my favorites. And I thank you in advance for helping spread the word about this, the Jinx Navigator podcast. See you next week.